Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots podcast. Your hosts are Michael McNamara and me, Ryan Schwan. It's all Pelicans, all the time.
Welcome to the show. This is the continuation of Thursday's In the Know Eastern Conference preview. Hope you enjoy. All right, so now I think I'm going to get into some areas where you're actually going to get grumpy with me.
Ooh.
Because I don't think you feel like these teams are meh at all. So let's see what you feel. So my next meh team is the Miami Heat.
Okay.
And I know the reality is there's going to be a lot written about the Miami Heat this year. Just because they're the Miami Heat. Where they are, what players are on that team, you know, this whole, wow, they have an amazing starting five. Miami Heat have some interesting pieces. I think they are a team that will have absolutely no impact to any sort of playoff situation. They may make the playoffs. They may, I mean, I guess some of these Met teams have to for me. They're going to make the playoffs and nobody is going to seriously think that they have any chance of doing better than maybe squeezing out a first round win, but probably not. And the reason why I say that is all of their players are old, declining. This is going to be an awful defensive team. And just look at the list of their starting players: Goran Dragic, Chris Bosh, Lil Dang, Dwayne Wade, and Whiteside. Would it shock you if all of those players missed at least 20 to 25 games this year?
No. No, it wouldn't. I mean, I definitely think that is the part where they're completely unpredictable. And I think this is a team that if you took the injuries off on NBA 2K, there's no way they missed the playoffs. But you know, that is still a skill, and these are good players, but it's a long season, and yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see a way through that they can really make any sort of noise, and I love Justice Winslow, but the dude is 19. Like, people need to gear back a little on him. Like, I fully expect that he's going to be a really good NBA player, but not this year, probably not next year, so...
Let me ask you this. You're the Miami Heat. A couple months into the season, the New York Knicks approach you and offer you Carmelo Anthony for Hassan Whiteside, Luol Deng, and contracts. What would you do?
Oh, wow.
You could move Bosch to center. You could go back to your small ball. You have an explosive team scoring. I mean, that's...
I'd probably do it, just because they're already in a bind anyways.
Yeah. I think that's their interesting move. They have Whiteside for one more year on probably the best... if he puts up numbers close to what he did on this amazing contract, what if they go the other way and flip it and give themselves a chance in a short window like that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that would, I think, guarantee them a spot in the playoffs. But again, in another year or two, this team is done anyways, in my opinion. So in another year or two, with or without Carmelo, they're done. So
yeah, no, I think that'd be fun. I mean, try it out: Dragic, Wade, Winslow, Carmelo, and Bosch as a starting lineup in the playoffs. You'd have to at least give them a chance if they're healthy against almost anybody but Cleveland. But yeah, I mean, they added a little bit of depth.
But all of it again is like the one dimensional, like Gerald Green. And I mean, I guess I still kind of like Frank Roberts, but I don't think his defense is anything to write home about. Like, I don't know. It's just, I have a hard time getting excited about any of these guys.
But that's what I'm saying, is you keep thinking about this team as a team, and I'm saying you had six garbage teams in the comp. Like, they're playing in their comp. Let's be honest. None of these teams is making the finals except for Cleveland. So, really, we're...
Oh, spoilers!
Really,
we just completely ruined our top category. I have more teams there.
I mean, really, we're talking about these teams within their own little conferences as far as they'll ever going to go. You look at that starting five. How many other teams in the conference are you saying Miami goes against that team and Miami's the clear underdog? I don't see that many, so... I think that they're in a position where, they might make a move. I think Hassan Whiteside's such an interesting piece, and I would find it interesting if they moved him, and kind of pushed for this season, and then just decided whenever that window's closed, we'll blow it all up and build around Winslow, who will be, ready to take over at that time at 23, 24. So whatever, we'll see. But I think they're going to be interesting to watch. And I've got them on the, you're right. I did have one border team. For me, they're on the border of, I got this and hope something weird happens. I think they're a 70% lock to make the playoffs, higher than teams like the Pacers that I've got, obviously, but you could see stuff going wrong just like it did last year.
All right, I still got two more meh teams to get through here.
All right, I'm pretty sure I know who they are, but go ahead.
All right, so the next meh team is the Boston Celtics. And the reason why I feel they're meh is, and I know they made the playoffs last year, and they'll probably make the playoffs this year. I don't have any argument about that. It's just... If we're, again, talking just impact, like, is anybody going to care about this team or worry about this team? Is anybody outside of Boston going to know their top five players who isn't, like, a complete NBA nut? The Celtics are on that list. It's just meh, whatever. Like, they didn't get really any better. Like, do you think Marcus Smart's going to make a leap and propel them anywhere? I don't feel he has that in him right now.
I would say the one spot, Amir Johnson was a guy who got no pub, but he was
very good.
Yeah, and I mean, he's the type of guy that does the little things that helps you win. He's a Nick Collison type with more skill, but okay, go ahead.
But I mean, I don't really have all that much more to say about him. Like Amir Johnson's very nice. He's a good player. He'll come in and he'll probably upgrade several different things that team does, but as much as people want to make fun of those guys, Olenek and Solinger and Zeller, Amir Johnson is probably like a B-minus player in the NBA, probably B, and those guys are probably C-pluses. So it's a little bit of an improvement, but it's not like a, hey, suddenly we're going to be an actual awesome team kind of improvement. And same. I just feel like that way about everywhere on their team. And you know, I know that, you know, Brad Stevens is supposedly the second coming of, you know, of John Wooden, but when you only have that much talent, there's only so far you're going to go in the NBA. And they'll make the playoffs, and then they'll be destroyed by whatever first or second seed they're facing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have them 7th seed. And again, to me, it's just I think they could come at you in waves. I think they have seven legitimate big men. You know, this year they added David Lee, Jordan Mickey at LSU, who has some talent. Jerebko, who's a guy you and I talked about in the offseason podcast. You know, that we kind of liked. Olin Exeller, Amir. Like, they have seven big. I mean, maybe Brad Stevens gets something out of Perry Jones. He's another 3-4 swing. I mean, Evan Turner was, nobody wanted him last year. And then, at least in the regular season last season, he put up some decent numbers. They could just come at you in waves. We saw how Isaiah Thomas could completely change a game. I mean, that was one of the most frustrating losses of last season. You know, with Isaiah just completely taking over the fourth quarter. So they just come at you at waves. They're never going to give up. They're well coached. I just think, like, that is a formula in the regular season. I think in the postseason it means absolutely nothing, and they will get crushed. But in the regular season, those are the type of teams that, you know, just never give up on games, could beat anybody. And, again, they're in the Eastern Conference. So, I have them as a 7th seed.
Okay. Next team, last meh team. And you'll probably think I'm crazy. It's the Washington Wizards.
Wow. Yes, you are crazy.
I just look at this team and I don't care.
What?
I really, like, you know, last year Paul Pierce made them sort of interesting. But let's just look at their potential starting lineup. It's Gortat, it's Nene or Humphreys, depending on how healthy Nene is. Then Otto Porter, then Bradley Beal and John Wall. And everybody in the world can point to Bradley Beal's playoff stats and say, he had a good series. And so, like, claim that proves that Bradley Beal is going to be an impact player. And then everybody else in the world should look at the 82 games he puts up, or less, because he gets injured all the time, in the regular season and realize that that's not Bradley Beal. That's just Bradley Beal being told to do different things in the playoffs because the rest of his team can't do it anymore. And I just, like, Otto Porter, I was in his corner when he was being drafted, and maybe he'll turn into a pretty interesting small forward in the league, and yay, good for Otto Porter, but he's not making any real changes. Nene plays 50 games, and the 25 of those 50 games, he gives a damn. And the other 25, he's terrible. And Gortat, he's a nice center. So is John Wall really that good? And I know you, like, subscribe 100% to the – like, John Wall might be what? Would you say he's the fifth best player in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, with the upside to, again, I mean, player, everything changes every year. I would say that he has a chance to be one of the top two or three. I wouldn't predict it, but there's a chance.
Right. I just look at the Wizards, and again, I feel the same way as I do about the Heat and the Celtics. Like, they're probably making the playoffs, but no one's going to give a crap about that team other than their fans.
Wow. Yeah, this is, I mean, if I had to, if somebody were to tell me that the Cleveland Cavaliers somehow did not make the finals, which I think they definitely are,
what did I just tell you about spoilers?
The Wizards would be the team that I would, and somebody put a gun to my head and said, who made it? The Wizards would be my guess.
The Wizards? Really?
Yeah, I mean, my big fear is their big men. I think this is definitely the year that we see declines in Gortat and Hilario. I think that they found something, and, you know, that they're basically going to save it mostly for the postseason, but I think that we're talking about Porter, Dudley, Allen Anderson, like two of those guys playing pretty much at all times when it matters and going small. But yeah, I think John Wall is going to take it to another. I hear what you say about Bradley Beal. I think he's good, not great. I think that this year Otto Porter will be better than Bradley Beal. And that's not because I think Beal's going to be terrible. I think Otto Porter's a legit NBA breakout candidate, like fringe all-star level.
That'd be great.
Can't, like what Gordon Hayward did 2 years ago.
Is that just because you're a Georgetown fan?
No, not at all. I mean, I was bashing the guy midway through last year as much as anybody, but I feel like I saw signs, and by all accounts, he's looking great so far in training camp in the preseason, which everybody is this time of year, so take that with a grain of salt. But I think more than anything that they found something with Pierce going to the four, and I think they're going to use that more. I think they didn't use it as much with Pierce last year because he was so old, but obviously Porter, Dudley, Allen Anderson aren't, so I think we see more of that, and I think that just gives more lanes and more running for John Wall, which I think is going to take him statistically to another level. So I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I fully expect that people will be saying John Wall is the clear best point guard in the Eastern Conference this year. So I think they're way better than you do.
Fun fact for you. What player on the Wizards do you think had the highest win shares last year?
I'm going to guess Chris Humphreys.
Is Marcin Gortat. Polish Hammer. He had higher win shares and win shares per 48 than John Wall did.
Yeah, and that's what scares me is they're big men. I think they'll come down. But again, I think all these teams that are at this level, there's going to be moves made during the season. I mean, why don't they go out and trade Nene for Al Jefferson, whatever.
Yeah, it happens.
So, yeah, we'll see. But I don't think anybody else has a chance in the East, but I think if somebody told me the Cavs didn't make it, that would be the first team off the top of my head that I would guess.
Okay, let's. I don't have any more meh teams. We've only got 5 teams left on my list, and since it's been all going off my list because I hate everybody in the Eastern Conference. I'm moving on to hoping something weird happens. Did you have anything in meh that I didn't say? I don't think that's possible.
No.
Right? All right, for something. Hoping something weird happens. Do you have anything in your hoping something weird happens category that I haven't said already?
I have a team. I mean, if we remember,
all right.
If we remember,
let's hear your team first.
Yeah, if we remember last year, I was like the one Charlotte. What were they at the time? Bobcats or Hornets? I don't know. Dissenter. I mean, they had made a huge jump the year before. They had added Lance Stevenson and basically given up nothing. They had, you know, a draft pick everybody liked, and they were a shoo-in for the playoffs. I was the lone dissenter. I said that they would not make the playoffs last year. I actually didn't like what Lance brought, and I said they would get worse. I was right about that. My team this year that I'm saying the same thing about, that I think everybody has them in for the playoffs. I even heard somebody on a recent podcast say they could be a dark horse Eastern Conference contender.
Yeah.
I do not have them in the playoffs, and that's the Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow. You don't even have them in the playoffs?
I have them 9th.
Okay.
I understand all the trend. Everything's trending up. I think so many things went right for them last year. I think they caught people off guard. I think losing Jared Dudley and his leadership is going to hurt a lot. I think reworking in Jabari Parker and figuring out what kind of role that's going to mean for him and Antetokounmpo. I think Greg Monroe's going to kill their spacing. I think they're already, you know, lack
yeah,
shooters.
You hate Monroe too. So,
well, I don't,
and hate might be a bit big, but
I think on the right team, he would have been, I think if you would have put him on a team with a big man shooter, and defend, he would have been fine. But, no, I, I think that everybody thinks that team's trending up, just like they did with Charlotte last year. I think they are trending down. I wouldn't be surprised if they made the playoffs, but I have them just outside at 9, which I think will be much different than most others preseason lists.
Well, I think you've forgotten to take a few things into account here. First, they're still paying Larry Sanders, so he might come back, right?
Ugh.
And second, you know, they've got a Plumlee.
And a Vasquez.
And then Vasquez. God, I forgot about Vasquez. Maybe I should be on board with your thing.
Yeah, I mean, O.J. Mayo's supposedly in the best shape in 5 years. Like, that's, John that's Henson right. just got a new contract. Like, I heard all the positives, but again, I think they're going to have an issue with who's in what role and what pecking order on this team, and just offensively at the end of games, I think that court is going to be so tight and, you know, unable to space. I like what they could bring on defense, but again, you're going to have Parker coming in there, and I think he's going to kill some of that. I think that they're going to get off to a slow start, and then I think issues are going to pop up about whose role is what and who's the star, what's the pecking order, and I just think they narrowly missed the playoffs.
Huh. I feel like they are a very clearly defined team, what they are. Like, and I know, like, I feel like they're going to be an amazing defensive team again, and I know I shouldn't necessarily think that because Monroe and Parker are going to be getting significant minutes this year that they didn't get last year. I feel like that identity is going to be strong enough that although they may not be top two like they were last year, they're still going to be top 10. And in the Eastern Conference, I feel like that should guarantee you a playoff spot. So,
yeah, I mean, we saw, again, it's just a lot of the same things for me. We saw Charlotte's defense just absolutely fantastic. Plus, they added another great defensive guy in Lance Stephenson, and then randomly it all fell apart. So,
it's true. All right, so you have any others hoping something weird happens, team?
No, that covers it for me.
I had
Celtics.
The Bucks there as well. I had the hoping something weird happens. I feel like the Bucks, like, I think their ceiling is, and in the Eastern Conference it's hard to, like, I guess their ceiling really, because it's the Eastern Conference, I feel like is like a 4 seed. They could probably get home court in the first round if everything goes pretty well. But I just don't feel like that they really have a chance. They're not making the conference finals unless somebody, you know, suffers horrible injuries in their series. I don't think that they're going to be a team that you need to think that they could ever possibly morph over the season into something you have to take super seriously.
So they have a lot of nice young pieces. What mm-hmm. would you build this team around? If I said you could package two or three of the nice guys for, you know, one more really great thing, that, like, who is the guy or two that you would build this around, and what would your identity be?
I think Antetokounmpo is whatever the hell his name is.
No, you nailed it.
Okay. So I really feel like this is, like, I was just thinking about this the other day. Anthony Davis, although he's younger, is Tim Duncan, and Giannis is Kevin Garnett. Like, that, I just feel that being like a kind of that kind of, you know, same situation where these two forwards will be neck and neck, and people will talk about them every year as one of these guys is better, the other one's maybe. And I think Davis, of course, you know, is amazing. I think Giannis will reach the point where he'll at least be in the conversation as the best power forward in the league. And maybe he'll have a year where suddenly his stats look so good that people will talk themselves into him being better than Anthony Davis, which is kind of what happened sometimes in the past. I really feel that way about Giannis. So I would be building it around Giannis and probably Chris Middleton.
So you would have two kind of...
like, they're both capable... They're both more focused defensively, but they're both offensively capable and can get even better on that.
And who would be, like, your dream non-superstar point guard? You could point to any guy at any point in NFL history, but so you'd get, like, a Mike Conley, distributor who could score a little bit, play defense.
Yeah. Yeah, someone like that. Someone who could be a really nice defensive complement to Middleton in the backcourt, who is going to set them up to make them as successful as possible. And I think they need that. I don't think either of them are genius offensive players. And, you know, Kevin Garnett was never a genius offensive player. He played off of guards really well and knew when to pick his spots. And he played so hard, he scored a lot. I think that, you know, if you could set him up, set up Giannis the same way, I think that's what you got.
What are the odds that Vasquez is either starting and or finishing games at point guard over Michael Carter-Williams at some point this year?
Very high.
Wow. Yeah, I still don't understand why they made that trade.
They didn't want to pay Brandon.
Okay, well then take the Lakers pick and then parlay that into something
else.
Yeah,
that I didn't understand that either. Like there's a lot of weirdness, but like I don't know why the Suns made the trade. I don't know why. There's a lot of weirdness that all happened there.
Yeah, I think that's gonna go down as a nobody wins trade.
That's right. Probably true, because the Suns spent way too much money on one guy, and Carter Williams is just not good at enough basketball talents to be a useful player. So,
yeah.
Any chance he morphs into Rajon Rondo, Boston Celtics years, and is good enough?
No. I mean, Rondo was a freak athlete and one of the smartest players in the NBA. So no,
okay.
I don't see that, but. Yeah, I like Antetokounmpo. I don't think as much as you, and I don't see KG as I still think he's always going to be more small forward than power forward. I think he's going to be, you know, a poor man's Kevin Durant on offense with better defense. I see that more of a comparison for him. I don't see the KG, but yeah, I think he's a good player. I don't think he'll ever be as good as if people are legitimately having the conversation of whether him or Anthony Davis is better, it's because Anthony Davis had a pretty serious injury and lost a lot of his athleticism.
Okay.
But so yeah, had him just outside of the playoffs. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if they do make it.
It is the Eastern Conference. I do have one more team that's in this, hoping something weird happens.
Okay, go for it.
Toronto Raptors.
Wow.
And I really, really wanted to put them in. I got this. I really did. But just something nags at me about this team. Like, Lowry had an amazing year last year, which was, like, the first half of his season was way better than he'd ever produced before. And then the second half of the season, he fell off, but people keep couching it in those terms. Like, at the first half, he was amazing. In the second half, he just got worn out. He just wasn't quite as good as he was the first half. What really happened was he played in the second half as well as he had the year before, and the year before that, and the year before that. So if that's just regression to the mean, the ceiling for this team is not what people think it is. If Lowry comes in and plays like he did at the beginning of last year and is able to do that all year, then I think the ceiling for this team is a lot higher. And I love the addition of DeMar Carroll. I think he's going to be a great asset next to DeMar DeRozan. But they lost Amir Johnson, and what are they replacing him with?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like every step forward they have, there's a step back. And I just feel like that keeps them from being a team that I am confident should be in the conversation for making the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, I just feel like they'll hit that second round, and they're dead.
Well, yeah, see, I have the Toronto Raptors as my number two seed in the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
So, Amir Johnson, I agree. That's my biggest concern is losing him. He was a huge plus-minus guy for them, did a lot of the little things. Where I think that it might help is now with him gone and with the contract they gave him, you've got to start using Jonas Valanciunas the way that you always should have.
Right.
Like,
okay.
The coach is now handcuffed to the point where he can no longer, play him 18, 20 minutes a game.
So you think Casey's a bit of a problem in that respect?
I understand what he does like and probably what's frustrating about Valanciunas, but you know, Amir Johnson was a guy who might help you win more games right now today more often than not. Valanciunas is a guy that could change your franchise's dramatic, but if he reaches his potential and you use him properly, you know, he's Brook Lopez with health and, you know, does everything a little bit better.
Memphis era Pau Gasol?
I mean, I don't think he'll ever be that smart or create. I mean, Pau Gasol is a great passer.
Yeah, yes, you're right.
But, yeah, I mean, he would be offensively, he'd be a guy. I mean, I'm thinking of all these big men. It's hard to think of. I was going to say a slightly better Vlade Divac, but again, Vlade was a great passer. But everything else, he could be slightly better. But so I think that they're kind of handcuffed to now where they have to use Valanciunas more, which I think is going to help them. And then I like a lot of the other little things, obviously Damari Carroll. But I mean, Corey Joseph, again, yes, he was overpaid, but I think he's a good player. You know, I love DeLon Wright in the draft. He's a, he's a guy I think that could step right in and play. And the best thing I've heard coming out is I never saw a team play the pick and roll more stupidly last year on defense. And I think I remember.
But they got the same coach, though.
Yeah, but, you know, and the interesting thing was Casey had basically told Zach Lowe that that's how they're playing it in the regular season, and then when they were going to switch it in the postseason, whatever. But, you know, they've actually, you know, all the reports coming out of camp is that they're going to, you know, a lot more ice and forcing a lot of more things to the baseline and yada. So I think that they have the potential to get to the middle of the pack on defense. So, you know, combine that with hoping that Terrence Ross takes a mini leap and a smart guy like Lewis Scola coming in and helping with the bigs. I think there's a tier of what was it, four teams in the East that I really didn't know how to separate, but that's why I had the Raptors second, was just hearing the news that they're actually going to play the pick and roll like a normal NBA team.
Good. So just because you were struggling to come up with a comparison and I was too, I went to Basketball Reference really quick and took a look at the closest similarity scores for Jonas Valanciunas. And the names I got were Mike Lewis, Tom Owens, Bob Rule, and James Edwards. So that doesn't help me at all, I'm sorry.
James Edwards was actually, I was a big fan of him with the Pistons, so I could kind of see that. I mean, one that you and I definitely will know, a slightly different skill set, but a good scorer, a steadying forward. How about Bill Cartwright?
Yeah, okay.
You know, or even, I mean, Robert Parrish, like a guy like that, like a 15 to 7 point per game scorer that when you go to him is going to be reliable. I don't know. I like him a lot more than it seemed like Casey did. And with Johnson gone and the contract you gave him, I think that he's actually going to have to be played the way he should. So,
unless Casey falls in love with Bismack Biyombo.
It's always possible. I mean, we know Joe Garrity has in the past.
That's true.
So
I am done with the something weird happens crew.
So out of that, I mean, but you said that you think the Raptors will make the second round. So that's a top four team. I don't know. I guess we should have clarified these categories anymore. Because if you think they're a top four team in the East,
I think they could be a top four team in the East. Let me say, if they were out of the playoffs, it wouldn't shock me. If they were in the playoffs and a fourth seed, it wouldn't shock me.
It would not shock you if the Raptors missed the playoffs.
No.
It would absolutely, yeah, them, the Wizards. Okay, so you got how many teams in the I got this category?
Two.
And they are?
Bulls and Hawks.
All right.
I just feel like either of these teams could suffer some injuries. They could have like a down week where they just don't give a crap and they're not playing very hard, or 2 weeks or even a month, and they just have enough talent that they're just going to put it all together. They're making it, and they're not. When they reach the playoffs, they're going to be focused. They're going to be going, and they're probably making it they're definitely making the second round, and I feel either of these teams will be the opponent of the title contender team, which I'm sure no one has guessed what team that is in the Eastern Conference.
Okay, go ahead and make the argument for me. They had a magical season last year. Make the argument for me for how Atlanta is better this year than last year.
They aren't better than last year.
No, but I mean, how does it happen? Let's say it happens somehow.
Okay.
What would have to happen? Why did it happen? We're writing the story now after it's happened. Why did it happen? How did they get even better?
Well, let me take a look at their roster, because I'd have to have it pick a guy who could like have like a sudden leap forward.
Well, knowing you, you're going to pick Mike Muscala, but...
That's true. I love Mike Muscala. He's awesome.
Oh, I know it.
I like with the fact that Mike Scott is having trouble there. You know, Mike Muscala, play him. Like, come on. He was a college powerhouse.
Here's my argument is that they have the best. They have a better third big. They have Tiago Splitter now, so you know they have a third big that could play with Millsap or Horford. Or, as crazy as it is to say, with Millsap's range and Horford's mid-range jumper, they could play all three of those guys together. The other scenario is Dennis Schroeder takes that lead. I mean, I know people in that organization, there are arguments day-to-day on who is better between Schroeder and Jeff Teague. And Jeff Teague was an all-star last year. And they legitimately say that Schroeder destroys him in practice. Six out of the 7 days a week. So let's say Schroeder takes that next step. Let's say, I mean, you said Rondo. Let's say he becomes Boston Rondo. And because I see a lot of the same, I mean, you see the speed. Apparently he's a really intelligent guy. You see the athleticism. You see the confidence. Let's say he becomes Boston-ish Rondo, and you see a lot of him and Teague playing together in the backcourt with Korver at the three. I mean, maybe that's the argument, is Schroeder takes another step and Tiago Splitter allows them to be more versatile in their front court. And yeah, you lost Damari Carroll, who, you know, he was the one non-all-star of the starters, but was probably the best guy in the playoffs for them.
In some respects, yeah.
So that was a big loss, but, yeah, I mean, that would be the scenario for me, is that, you know, Splitter allows him to, allows those big guys to get a little bit of a rest, and they have more depth there, and then Schroeder takes that next step.
Justin Holiday becomes the next Damari Carroll? any chance?
I wouldn't say, I mean, they tend to like Kent Bazemore. I mean, Cephalosha is the guy who was supposed to have that role, you know. Had the terrible incident with him with the New York police, but I mean, you know, his numbers aren't when he left Oklahoma City and everybody was bashing him. They were no worse than Damari Carroll before he came there. I mean, maybe it's the system that makes it work. So that would be my argument. Going the other way, Mike Scott seems like a ticking time bomb. They are missing Damari Carroll. And Jeff Teague, I've never seen a point guard have more open lanes. I told you about that play last year where it was a two-on-one break and the defender actually went with Kyle Korver to the three-point line and let Jeff Teague have a layup. I don't know if Jeff Teague could repeat that season. You know, Millsap got paid. Is he going to be as hungry? Horford, you know, is he going to stay healthy? So I could see it going the other way, but I think there's a 5% chance they could be even better than last year.
Okay. There's also the fact that their point differential doesn't even support a 60-win team, which is what they were. Like, they just got lucky some, too. So.
It might support a 60-win team in the East. Do you think there's any chance that all of us have missed on Tim Hardaway Jr., that no. The Hawks saw something and maybe he's actually good?
Actually, yes. It is a possibility because, you know, the Knicks were so screwed up that, you know, guys can sometimes, like, just completely lose it and lose any ability to get things done. Like, if you put them in the right system with the right support, you can play way better than if you're in a completely chaotic situation. Like if he is, if his role is wing shooter, and you put him in the Knicks, with what point guard was going to pass him the ball? Like, that's just not the situation that's going to help him at all. Mm. So, you know, maybe he can turn into something.
Yeah, I think that's their best case scenario, is that Korver plays more three this season, and Hardaway and Schroeder and Teague could eat most of the minutes at the guard positions, and, you know, all three of those guys could play well.
Yeah.
So, and then
let's talk Bulls now. So, are you like, I have a hard time with the Bulls. Like, I can't get excited about them, but when I look at this team, for every moment I'm like, ugh, that guy's not what everybody says he is. They have so many of those people. They feel like what you're saying with the Celtics. Like, they could just send waves of dudes at you that are pretty solid or could be pretty solid and just wear you down eventually. Like, they have enough good players that it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but again, the problem is, I mean, in an ideal world, wouldn't this just be Jimmy Butler's team?
Yeah.
No questions asked.
Absolutely.
So, I mean...
But is Jimmy Butler going to have the same year as he did last year? Like, are you 100% convinced that what we saw from Jimmy Butler last year is what Jimmy Butler is going to be going forward, or could he just slip back a little bit?
I mean, I don't think so. If you made it his team and then put the right personnel, I mean, you got to remember, a lot of the personnel that was initially put in place was, I mean, the Bulls were kind of built like a better version of those 76ers teams with Iverson.
Yes.
Where Derrick Rose was just going to take all the shots. You got these big men who played defense and got offensive rebounds to create more. And now you don't have any. I mean, you have a fantastic offensive player in Mirotić, a guy who's, you know, same with Gasol, who's still good despite his age. You have a chance that Doug McDermott now in this new system could be a good offensive player. I mean, we definitely saw how good he could be. And so, I mean, what if you could get rid of Derrick Rose and go get, gosh, I'm trying to think of like a facilitating unselfish point guard, but I mean,
we should always just say Mike Conley.
Yeah. I don't think that Conley penetrates and creates and kicks and kind of collapses the D. I'm thinking of a guy who collapses the defense a little bit more and, you know, is a little bit more of a threat. Like, I'm trying not to go Chris Paul, but, you know, I'm trying to, you know, stay in with that kind
Ricky
of point
Rubio.
Guard.
Yeah,
you
can do
but
that.
Somebody more, but I mean,
you can't shoot though.
Yeah. I think if you gave them the right point guard, you know, how exciting this team could be. So that's the one thing holding them back. Like, I believe that Noah could have a bounce back season if he's healthy. Yeah, if you could, I mean, Taj Gibson almost doesn't have a role anymore and he's still a good player. If you could somehow package, and I don't think he's going to be great in Hoiberg's system, if you could somehow package Gibson and Derrick Rose and get the right player, I think they would be right there with Cleveland. But the fact that it should clearly be Butler's team, but as long as Derrick Rose is here, you know, that's never going to be as clear as it should be. That's my number one issue with this team.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, right, because Rose still tries to take over, and he's not good anymore. Like, I mean, and that's harsh, too. Like, he's a fine NBA player. I just, like, if you were ranking point guards now, is he top five or even,
no.
like, top ten
no.
for you? Like, that's like the whole thing. Yeah, like,
no, I mean, if you replaced him with Goran Dragic, I would love this team.
Okay.
Like a healthy guy who, yes, shoots, but also likes to distribute. Like, yeah, I mean, but if Goran Dragic was their point guard, we would know this is Jimmy Butler's team.
Right.
And that's what I'm talking about. Like, I'm such a fan of having a clear pecking order, and I think that's an issue here. Yeah, I mean, everything could go right, and maybe Derrick Rose could take a secondary role, but if that doesn't happen, this team has no chance against Cleveland.
So you brought it up. I feel like this is a really, really heavy front court, and I feel like this team has to be looking for something to move there. They've got to. And you said it. Like, my feeling is Taj Gibson should be on the market and be traded sometime this year. Like, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't be doing that. Because they have Noah. They have Gasol. They have Mirotić.
Bobby Portis could develop into Taj Gibson.
Bobby Portis has potential. And that's just, like, right there, that's four guys who all should be getting minutes before we even said Taj Gibson.
Right.
Like, you should be playing Bobby Portis. You don't draft a guy like that and then just sit him on the bench. And, you know, there can be some point, you know, there's a couple other guys who can play power forward minutes, too, on this team. So, I don't know. I just feel like they would do themselves a disservice if they didn't explore that market and get some sort of guy for Taj Gibson.
I got the trade for you right now. You ready?
Okay, fire away.
Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson. Wow, this is an ugly trade. For Jarrett Jack and Joe Johnson. Huh. Jimmy Butler's your clear star. You have, you know, you have Butler and Johnson and Joe Johnson at the 2-3. Joe Johnson's just a, you know, he's basically playing the Ray Allen role in Miami. He's a nice tertiary option who's going to hit some big clutch shots at the end. Jarrett Jack knows to defer, whatever. But
and now you've sentenced Derrick Rose to basketball purgatory.
Brooklyn does it because now, you know, they could potentially sell tickets and, you know, whatever. And they're not going to do anything anyway. So at least they have, you know, they're taking a chance on a guy who, if he hits, great. If not, his contract's up soon enough. They make a trade like that. They would obviously get worse from a talent perspective, but that's what I'm saying, where it's not always about talent. It's about a pecking order and, you know, having proper roles. They make that trade, and then all of a sudden they're a team that, I give a puncher's chance against Cleveland and would probably make them a favorite against anybody else in the Eastern Conference Series. Something like that. I mean, the problem with trading Rose and even Gibson is that their salaries are just so big. You're going to have to take back huge salaries in return, and it would be something like that. So anyway,
here's a fun question for you. Who do you think had a higher win score or win shares last year, Derrick Rose or Drew Holiday?
God, I don't even know how many. I mean, Drew Holiday had close to a 19 PER and played. I'm going to go with Drew.
You're right. Yeah, Drew Holiday posted three win share last year and played less minutes than Derrick Rose, and Derrick Rose posted a 1.3.
Yeah, if you tell me that both guys play 75 games this year, I will predict Drew Holiday will have the better season. I mean,
I think he would destroy him.
Derrick Rose was a phenomenal player, but so was Penny Hardaway at some point. Like, things change, and you just got to accept it.
Yeah. Okay, so then I guess the only team we have left, the title contender. Mm. You do have them as a title contender, don't you?
I have them as winning the title this year, yes.
Wow. Cleveland Cavaliers winning the title.
Yeah, I said when LeBron signed that they had no chance of winning it last year, that they had a two-year window this year and next year, and I still hold that to be true. I think that this year and next year are the only 2 years that Cleveland have a chance of winning it, and I do actually think they're going to do it this year.
I don't have a whole lot of ammunition to try to disprove that. Like, they gave the Golden State Warriors all they could handle in that first game when they just had Kyrie Irving. If they have any like medium level of health and they have two of their stars all season or most of all season, you're right. Like, I don't see how, like, that team's not going to win at all, because the Eastern Conference is so damn easy. They're not going to be beat up by the time they hit the finals. And, like, you've heard this said on some of those podcasts we listened to, like, the Golden State Warriors, they didn't have to play the other two best teams in the Western Conference last year.
Right.
In the playoffs. They miss both the Clippers and the Spurs. And, of course, OKC, which, you know, wasn't even in the conversation. So is there any chance, do you think that there's any chance that they're going to be able to make it to the Western Conference, through the Western Conference Finals, and not play one of those three teams this year?
No. No, and I mean, even going further than that, here's the thing against Cleveland winning the title is, yes, we know that they're going to get there. But let's say that Cleveland team from last year, yes, they came close. You know, they gave Golden State a run for their money. What would the series have looked like if they ran into the 2014 Spurs? I mean, they would have got demolished, right?
Yeah, they would have been
right. Demolished. So if a great team with experience running on all cylinders comes out of the West, it doesn't matter the path that it took to get there. They will destroy Cleveland. So it's just a matter of if a great, and I know people will say that, you know, Golden State in the regular season had an all-time great year, and I know all the numbers, yada, 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 but they still got to the NBA Finals, looked shell-shocked. You know, I still think there's a way to beat Golden State that's, for some reason, teams didn't do, and, you know, Cleveland started beating them up, and then when Golden State made their adjustment, they ran right by Cleveland. But, I mean, that's the argument, is that, yes, Cleveland's going to make it to the finals, but if they run into a great team, it won't matter. You know, they'll get demolished, just like any Eastern Conference team should. But let's play devil. So with all the other teams, you know, we talked about the bad, and I asked you the best case scenario. Throw away injuries. Let's not even talk about injuries. What is your devil's advocate? Give me a scenario outside of injuries in which Cleveland isn't as good as we're making them out to be, at least in the East.
They're a piece of garbage defensive team. that's just like last year. They were not good. They were a great offensive team, and they were 18th in defense.
But they got better throughout the season, and they got really good in the playoffs.
They got better throughout the season, but one of the reasons they got better in the playoffs was they morphed over, due to injury, into the Allen Iverson Sixers, where there was one guy carrying all the offensive load and a bunch of defensive and offensive rebounding players surrounding him. And so their defense got better. Their offense got worse. So there's no question that if you have Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving playing long minutes, your defense is going to be worse than if you have, you know, Tristan Thompson and Melodonova. That's not his name at all.
you put them together like he married himself, like Ben Affleck and J-Lo or whatever. But you had Matthew Dellavedova marry himself and do Melodonova.
Melodonova. So Melodonova, they're just better defensive players than either of those guys. So,
yeah.
Suck offense.
Plus, you're slowing down the style, so there's less turnovers, and you're playing half-court defense all the time instead of transition defense. Yeah, I mean, a lot of it makes sense. How about, does the Tristan Thompson thing worry you at all? Because if you heard Windhorse on the Low podcast, he firmly believes that this might go well into the season, where Tristan Thompson is not going to play for the Cavs until he gets his $85, $90 million contract, whatever, or until he's traded to another team. I mean, do you think, not necessarily Tristan Thompson the player, although he was impactful at the end of last year, but do you think the situation could hurt the team at all?
Yeah. I think it could be an annoying distraction for them. And I think that it's just, I don't know enough about the representation that he has to see that they would take it that far, but they could. And so I'm not 100% convinced that he's a huge upgrade over what they have in the front court. A huge upgrade? He's an upgrade, but not a huge upgrade. So I don't know if it matters that much. I really don't.
I think it might matter early. I mean, Timofey Mozgov had off-season surgery. By all accounts, he's out of shape. Varejao's, you know, coming.
Is always injured.
So, you know, there, I mean, Kevin Love's still coming off of surgery. You don't want to, you know, ask too much of him. But, Yeah, I mean, that's one thing with the Cavs is, man, I want to catch them early as much as possible. I mean, Kyrie Irving's going to be out till January, possibly. So I think when this team gets rolling, I think that they're going to continue their ascension defensively. Yeah, I think a lot of it was personnel, but I also think they were starting to figure some things out. Mozgov's going to have a full training camp. Verjo's
and Shumpert's better on the wing than Deion Waiters.
Yeah, so I do think that they're going to be at least middle of the pack defensively, and I think, you know, I think offensively, not as much love. But I was somebody who wasn't that bullish on Kyrie Irving, but I think, you know, he definitely took another step and being part of a winning team and culture. And I never saw somebody who cared less than him and Deion Waiters a couple years ago. But you get rid of Deion Waiters, you bring in LeBron James, and now Kyrie Irving sees what it takes to win. I think that really did work for him. So it's almost impossible for me to see this team not making the finals unless LeBron gets hurt. That's literally the only way. If you told me that LeBron was playing, I don't even care who else. If you told me LeBron was playing and somebody beat them 4 out of 7 times, I would be legitimately shocked. And like I said, the only team that I would think possibly pulled that off would be Washington, and that's if everything went the right way of, you know, they traded for a big man, Otto Porter took the step, and John Wall, you know, became what Derrick Rose was in his MVP year.
Right.
So.
Okay. Although you did miss the most important subtraction they made this offseason. They don't have Kendrick Perkins anymore.
Oh, he's here. I found that interesting that Perkins said that he actually wanted to come here last year.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out. I mean, we obviously weren't contenders, so that was, I mean, that was interesting. I don't know how true that was, but I found it interesting.
Right.
So,
well, this podcast gone on quite a while.
Let me just ask you one question though.
Sure.
So, we would both put the Pelicans as the second best team in the East, right?
Probably.
So, we're saying that 14 teams are below them. So, out of those 14 teams that we say are inferior to the Pelicans, which one or two do you fear the most in a one-on-one matchup where you and I are doing a preview a couple weeks from now and we're playing a team, let's assume that all parties are healthy, which team or two do you think that the Pelicans actually have the most trouble matching up against out of these teams, even though we would say that they're superior in a vacuum?
My answer is going to be really weird. Celtics.
Really?
In a regular season game, I feel like the Celtics would give them the most trouble.
Because
we have seen point guards obliterate our team over and over again. And I'm not worried about the Bulls point guard. I'm not worried about the Hawks point guard. I'm not worried about the Bucks point guard. I guess Kyle Lowry at full steam might be a little scary. But like, I just keep Wizards. Yeah, they could probably do something. But for some reason, the Celtics, I just feel like the Pelicans would probably take them lightly. Now, we are talking just a regular season game and not like a playoff.
Right, yeah, just when we're previewing these games.
Regular season games, I just feel like they would go in there and they'd be like, Kelly Olynyk's going to try to guard Anthony Davis. This is a stupid game. And be like all cocky. And then the Celtics would come out and play hard all game long. And they would be pretty good with a lot of people. And Isaiah Thomas would come in and torch the crap out of our team.
Yeah. Yeah. I, for me, it's the Bulls. I think that there's little to no answer on this team for Jimmy Butler. And then I just think that they have the big men that could play in a multitude of ways that could give our bigs problems. Yeah, that would be the team that going into the matchup, and especially since Anthony Davis is never healthy when we play at Chicago. That would be the one for me.
All right, so I got one last ambush of a thing I'm sure everybody has at some point probably seen the little bit they do on TNT with Barkley, where they basically ask him like obscure player names and ask him where they play. But I was going through getting ready for this podcast and I just kept seeing people's names. I just did not recognize at all. And so I got a list of four names for you. And I want you to pick out which of these four guys is not on a training camp roster right now.
Okay. Shoot.
So the four names are Stephon Hanna.
Ooh.
Adonis Thomas.
Hmm.
Scotty McConnell. And Greg Whittington.
All right, so two I know. Well, not what teams they're on, but I feel like I know them as players, is Adonis Thomas and Whittington. So I'm going to go with whatever the...
Whittington I tossed in there.
Whatever the third one was.
So you're going with Scotty McConnell?
Yeah, he sounds like an actor on Game of Thrones. So yeah, I'm going to go with Scotty McConnell.
You're right! Actually... He is the guy in the finest department of my company who really likes basketball. He's one of the few people I can actually go talk basketball that I work with. So,
who are the other guys?
So Stephon Hanna, he's on the Bulls, and he's an overseas player.
Oh.
Then Adonis Thomas played at Memphis.
Right.
And also Stephon Hanna, by the way, is 30 years old, so he's been overseas for a while. And then, yeah, Greg Whittington came out of Georgetown, and I believe this is a rookie
season. Yeah,
no,
I know him. He was a disappointment.
I threw him in there.
You know, the greatest name in the Eastern Conference, though, is Sir Dominic Poynter.
Sir Dominic.
Yeah, you've got him and the King on the same. That can't be a coincidence. Like,
what they need to do is bring Baron Davis out of retirement.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, and look at the color of their jersey. He would be Red Baron.
Wow.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's quite a. I mean, training camp names are always the most interesting. But yeah, nothing beats a Sir Dominic Poynter. But yeah, that was our Eastern Conference preview. We'll obviously have Western Conference coming up. I can't let you go, obviously, without having you do a quick fill in the blank. For hip hop. So I'm going to give you a couple of lyrics and you fill in how the lyric ends. So the first one is on my late night thirsty because it was late night and I was blank.
Horny.
Incorrect. The answer's thirsty. And
I say that again.
All right. Finally, the last one. I know you refused to see Straight Outta Compton, even though it was one of the best movies of the summer. This comes from Sir Dr. Dre, and it is, never let me slip, because if I slip, then I'm blank.
Dead?
Slipping. I tried to...
Really? I was like trying to come up with something like interesting at least. Like that's just
no.
Lame.
These are just the most redundant rap lyrics of all time. But I tried to give you the. I tried to make it easy for you. I literally gave you the answer and the question, but you couldn't nail it. So I don't know how you're gonna get any of these throughout the season.
So you want to just to make everybody 100% certain? I don't know anything about rap. I didn't even know Dr. Dre was part of N.W.A.
Well, on that note, we've got to go.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to In the
Ben
Note.
Ryan, season one of Empire.